So regular listeners will know that I was using full frontal nudity to try and get more listeners to the podcast. I'm not allowed to do that anymore, and it won't work in any way. So what I've been doing is looking at other successful podcasts and seeing how I can emulate them. Now, one thing I noticed, all the top podcasts have got adverts. Correlation equals causation. So I'm pretty sure that if I get adverts in, I'll get more listeners. So here come the adverts. Why not go and listen to Audible or get a website made by Squarespace or use that Blue Apron thing or Harry Shaves? Is that it? What do I do now? Just wait for more listeners to come in. Cool.
What's this? What's this?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
What's this? What's this?
It's Christmas time.
What's this? What's this?
It's all humbug, I tell you.
What's this? What's this?
Well, it's just me and my trusty old Red Ryder carbine action 2 on the shot range model air rifle.
What is this?
It's the Total Christmas Podcast with your host, Jack.
He's an angry elf.
Hello, you beautiful people. I've got something a little bit different now because I always start with the interactive bit. Well, this time I am actually interacting. So Benji Pearson sent in some bits for me to interact with. So here we go. How are you?
Hi, Jack. Thanks for asking. How are you?
Well, I've just found out I've got grade 4 hemorrhoids.
Really? That's very interesting to hear.
Yeah, they're agony.
Well, I'm doing pretty good today. Just on my way to work.
Well, you got to keep the pennies coming in.
Yeah, you know how it is.
And how are the kids?
Oh, the kids are good. Yeah, my oldest son has just started learning to drive, so that's always exciting.
Oh, dear. Well, good luck with that, mate.
Well, have a good day. Good to see you.
And you. Take care. How was that? What do you think? Pretty bad? Yeah, of course it was. But, you know, this is the Total Christmas Podcast. Welcome to the show. I hope you're well. I hope you're getting ready for Christmas or Halloween or doing something. Or I hope you're not doing anything. I hope you're just happy. That's all I care about. Your happiness. It's great to have you here. I have got a packed show. And it really is packed again. I've got loads of stuff going on. So I suppose I'd better just get straight into it. Because I've probably got other housekeeping. People have sent me messages. And I've probably forgotten what they sent. And I always say, yeah, I'll put that in the next episode. And then I don't. And then they stop listening, and that's why I've only got 4 listeners. Because one of them leaves, a new one comes in. It's quite an interesting turnaround, really. Yeah. Now it's time for this. Your lugs, you'll love them, I'll love them, we'll love them, we all love. The your lugs, the your lugs, the your lugs, those your lugs, yeah. Do you know what, thinking about it, it's like, with the Yule Lads, people did love the Yule Lads, but with the Yule Logs, I'm there saying, I'll love them, you'll love them, we'll love them. I don't think we will, because I've not had one bit of feedback about the Yule Logs, I don't think, not one, which to me suggests that everyone hates Yule Logs. I could sing the, do you want me to sing it again? Yule Logs, you'll hate them, I hate them, we all hate them, we're all sick of Yule Logs, of Yule Logs. Of your logs, those your logs, they're crap. How's that? See, the thing is, I'm doing it anyway, and I don't know why, but I am. I don't know. This, maybe it's just filler. You know, like when you buy an album, half the tracks are decent, half the tracks are filler. That's like my podcast, apart from it's all filler. This episode's your log is the Lord of the Rings Eye of Sauron your log. 5 hours of watching the Eye of Sauron burning. Now, I've had a good look at it, and I've timed it, and it's pretty much a 2-second loop that goes on for 5 hours. If it is exactly 2 seconds, I want you to do the maths as quick as you can. How many times they play the same clip? Go. Got it? Right, let's see how long it takes me to work out. Here we go. 720, is that right? No, 900 times I've got. What do you get? You going for 900? Is that right? 900 times 2 seconds is 5 hours. Do you think that's right? What do you reckon? I'm gonna get a calculator, hold on. What do I say? 900, it's 9,000. You believe that? Oh, am I by a factor of 10? A bit embarrassing, really. I'm normally quite good at maths, I like to think. Anyway, so this is actually done by Warner Brothers. It's actually on the Warner Brothers YouTube channel. 5 hours of the Eye of Sauron burning, and in the background it's got like crackling fire noises. It's been on there since December 2016, and I had a look and it's had 204,000 views, which isn't a massive amount really, is it? Especially when you see some of these really crappy videos on YouTube that's like some kid just playing with a toy, like unwrapping it and talking about it, and they get about 5 million views. So, I mean, I'm not saying this is good. It's obviously more boring than that kid unwrapping that toy, but that kid unwrapping that toy is pretty bad. Do you think there's many people that have had it on for the full 5 hours? Because that's a long time, isn't it? Like, 5 hours of it. If me and the wife watch a Yule log, we're normally like, maybe 2 hours, maybe an evening. Like, just an evening, we just sit, chat, and then realise we've got nothing to talk about after 10 minutes. So, yeah, 10 minutes is the max, I reckon. We'd probably less than that. Maybe 4.5 minutes. Anyway, that's this episode's Yule log. If you're a massive Lord of the Rings fan, I still don't think you'd have it on for 5 hours. You might do, but you know, there it is. That's this episode's Yule log. Let's move on to something much less rubbish.
Jingle, jingle, jingle for a segment.
Okay, it's time now for the top 10 Christmas movie lists. And this episode, I've got 4 for you. That's right, 4. So no messing around. I'm going to get straight into it. And the first one comes from Shonag Birch. I hope I said that right, Shonag. I have looked up how to pronounce it, and I hope I pronounced it correct. So, at number 10, we have Krampus. At number 9, It's a Wonderful Life. At number 8, it's The Muppets Christmas Carol. At number 7, Surviving Christmas. Number 6, Fred Claus. Number 5, 4 Christmases. Number 4, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Number 3, Deck the Halls. Number 2, Christmas with the Cranks. And number 1, Trading Places. That's quite a list. And what's impressive about that list is 5 of them. That's right, 5 we've not had before. 5 of those. That's Surviving Christmas. I don't know if you've seen that. That's the one with Ben Affleck and James Gandolfini. Number 6 is Fred Claus with Vince Vaughn, plays Santa Claus's brother. 4 Christmases. That's Vince Vaughn again, where he's married to Reese Witherspoon. Deck the Halls with Matthew Broderick and Danny DeVito, which I actually quite like, even though it's a horrendous film, and Trading Places, which you forget, it's sort of set at Christmas. So yeah, we're going to see at the end how her list has done in the chart. Next up, we've got Tony Dixon. If you don't remember Tony Dixon, I mentioned him last week. He's got the podcast that's just come out, The Cabinet of Dr. Caligiuli. I highly recommend you have a listen to it. It's a Halloween-based podcast. And because we're only a week away from Halloween, now's the perfect time to start listening. Check it out. I have put a link on Facebook already, so seriously, check out his podcast. Here is his list. Play the music. At number 10, it's White Christmas. Number 9 is Scrooged. Number 8, Bad Santa. 7, Krampus. Number 6 is Christmas with the Cranks. Number 5, Elf. Number 4, Nightmare Before Christmas. Number 3, A Christmas Carol. That's the George C. Scott version. Number 2 is A Christmas Story. And number 1 is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That's a pretty decent list. And it's nice to see Nightmare Before Christmas. That's not the first time we've had it. But I'm surprised that it hasn't turned up in more people's lists, because I really like that film. Okay, next up we have Jeff Malcolmson, and you may remember Jeff Malcolmson because I mentioned his online comic strip, Santa and Rudy, as a recommendation a few episodes ago. If you haven't checked out his Facebook page, you really should, because at the moment he's putting more content on there, loads of lovely comic strips to have a look at. It's Santa and Rudy. Rudy is spelt with 2 U's. Have a look on Facebook. So here's his list. Here we go. Number 10 is Nativity. Number 9, It's a Wonderful Life. Number 8, Elf. Number 7, The Christmas Carol, 1984 version again with George C. Scott. Number 6, Scrooged. Number 5, Miracle on 34th Street, that's 1947. Number 4 is Home Alone. Number 3, The Santa Claus. Number 2, White Christmas. And number 1 is Santa Claus the Movie. Now, that's the first time we've had Nativity on there, and if you haven't seen it, That's a British film that stars Martin Freeman, who was in the English version of The Office, and he was also Bilbo Baggins in the Hobbit movies. You should check it out, actually. It's quite a good film. My kids absolutely love it. Okay, last up, we've got Dan Carlson, and here comes his list. Are you ready? Number 10, The Man Who Invented Christmas. Number 9, Santa Claus the Movie. Number 8, It's a Wonderful Life. Number 7, A Christmas Carol from 2009. That's the Jim Carrey version. Number 6, Miracle on 34th Street from 1947. Number 5, Elf. Number 4, The Santa Claus. Number 3, Home Alone. Number 2, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And number 1 is A Christmas Story. There we go. That's his top 10. I've got to say, that's the first appearance of The Man Who Invented Christmas. If you've not seen that one, it's really good, actually. It stars Dan Stevens from Downton Abbey as a young Charles Dickens, and it's the story of him trying to write A Christmas Carol. I really enjoyed it, actually. I've only seen it once, a couple of years ago, but yeah, highly recommended. It's probably on Netflix, because it was before. If you haven't seen it, check it out. So now we've got 13 top 10 lists on our list, and let's see if the order's changed. You might remember that Crick Jiminy has been number one for the last 2 weeks. Is he still there? Here we go. At number 13, don't hate me for this, Shonag. Yeah, it's Shonag. Shonag Birch. Sorry about that, Shonag. I appreciate you sending the list in. It just wasn't that good. No, I don't. It's your list, though. In your opinion, it's the top. But in my opinion, which is the one that counts for this, is sadly the bottom. Number 12 is Robert Nicholas. Number 11 is Anthony Caruso. Number 10 is Tony Dixon, new in at number 10. Number 9 is Katie Gibson. Number 8 is Lee Mayer. Number 7 is Benji Pearson. Number 6 is Art Kilmer. New in at number 5 is Jeffrey Malcolmson. Number 4, Scott Newman. Number 3, Mike Westphal. Number 2 is Dan Carlson, new in at number 2. And at number 1, for the third week straight, it's Crick Jiminy. There we go, that's the list. If you think your list is better than those ones, then send it in. It's very straightforward. You can do it through Facebook. A lot of people have done it that way. You can send me an email. You could write me a letter. I'm not giving you my address, so you have to guess on that one. Yeah, so I've still got loads more to run through. That's what I did 4 this week. Let's move on to this. A few episodes ago, I did the story of the tumbleweed Christmas tree in Arizona. And I was sent a story by our American Scandinavian correspondent Benji Pearson about how one year the tumbleweed Christmas tree was burnt down. And alongside that, he sent me another tradition that's very similar. When I say very similar, it's slightly similar to the tumbleweed Christmas tree. Now, this is called the Jävla goat. And a bit of backstory. In Sweden, they have a thing called the Julbok. And the Julbok was when the harvest was done in the autumn, they would save the last sheaf that they harvest of wheat or whatever. And this was believed to have magical powers. And this was known as Julbok. And to be honest, I can't quite see what the relevance is this has got to do with goats. Now, what would happen is people would make small ornamental goats out of the wheat straw and wrap it up with red ribbons, and these would be used to decorate the house around Christmas time, or Yule, as they call it in Sweden. Now, it's believed that the tradition originates because Thor, the god of thunder, would ride in his chariot that was pulled by two goats, and these goats were called, hold on, here comes my best Swedish, Tangrisnir and Tangnostra. And the story goes that these two goats were magic goats, and if Thor ever got hungry, he'd eat them, and the next day they'd come back again, apparently. Which is quite handy, really, isn't it? Imagine if you could do that with your car. Get a bit peckish, eat the steering wheel, next morning, still got a steering wheel. Probably don't taste as nice as goat, thinking about it, actually. Anyway, the theory is that it originated from, because goats were part of sort of tradition in Sweden, people used to make these little goats. And goats were like a real big part of the Yule celebration. Kids would dress up as goats and they'd go singing carols door to door, but kind of like trick or treating, or were sailing, trying to sort of get treats off people. And quite often people would like hide a little Yule book, a little goat, in someone's house. Now, in 1966, the town of Gävle in Sweden, now that's spelled like Gavel, G-A-V-L-E, but it's pronounced Gävle, they came up with an idea to set their village apart. And what they did was made this huge straw Yule book, this big goat that was like wrapped in red ribbon. So this massive goat is erected on the first day of Advent. Now, the first day of Advent, it's not like in your Advent calendar where December the 1st is the first day of Advent. Advent is like counted by the Sundays before Christmas, so it can either be late November or early December. And the idea behind it came from an advertising consultant called Stig Javlin, who lived in Gävle. And the construction originally was carried out by the fire department, and they erected the goat every year from 66 to 1970 and from 86 to 2002. So the first goat they did was 13 metres tall, that's 43 foot, and it was 7 metres long, or 23 foot long, and apparently it weighed 3 tonnes. So this lovely idea, this massive structure, like a huge goat built out of straw around a wooden framework, has sadly been quite a controversial figure. Now, in 1971, the people that had originally started building the goat, these were called the Southern Merchants, it's like a group of businessmen, they decided it was a waste of money and they weren't going to do it anymore. So the Natural Science Club from the School of Vassar, they decided to start making one instead. And this lasted from 71 till 1985. And then in 1986, the merchants decided to get back in the game. Like, they'd been out of it for 15 years. They're like, no, we're gonna do this. We can do this. In 1985, before they got back into it, and this is probably why they got back into it, the Natural Science Club Yule Goat broke the Guinness World Record for the tallest Yule Goat. Now, the chap that originally came up with the idea in 1966, who I mentioned earlier, Stig Javlin, he said that this goat was like not attractive and it just had a really long neck to make it taller, which, you know, I suppose you've got to do something. Maybe it was a Yule giraffe. And I'm thinking because of that, that's why they decided to get back into the game. And ever since 1986, there's been two Yule Goats in Gävle, and each year it's like a battle to see who can get the tallest one. And at the moment, it's the record is still held by the Natural Science Club from the School of Vassar, and theirs is over 14 meters tall. Now, the problem with building a massive straw structure is people try to set light to it. Now, since it originally started in 1966, it has been burnt down over 37 times. And that's way more than half. If you go on Wikipedia, it's actually got every year if it was burnt down or if it survived. And you look at it and it's not many times that it survived. So to try and stop people burning it down, a lot of like security measures were put into place. So they started off in 68 by putting chicken wire around it, because kids had been sort of like trying to climb inside it and hide inside his legs. And apparently there were rumours that a couple had enjoyed each other's bodies, shall we say, inside it. They'd been bonking. In 1979, they like tried to fireproof it, but the problem with fireproofing it is you cover it in this fireproofing substance, but not only does it discolour the goat, but also it's like it snows and then the snow melts a bit and it all drips off. They've had people sort of trying to stand guard as well, which sort of sometimes works to a degree. And in 1996, they put up a lot of webcams to keep an eye on it so that no one could go and burn it. So some highlighted anecdotes through the years. So in 1970, two drunken teenagers were arrested after burning the goat. Are you ready? 6 hours after it was constructed. 6 hours. In 1972, it collapsed due to sabotage. In 1976, the goat was run into by a car. In 1979, the goat is burnt before it could even be erected, which also happened in 1989. And in 79, the replacement goat was kicked to pieces. I don't know how big that one was, if it can be kicked apart. In 1998, there was like this severe blizzard, so all the volunteers, like the security guards that are guarding the goat, they went for like a break in a cafe to sort of get out of the cold and have some coffee and warm up and that. And while they're there, because it's too cold to be standing out guarding the goat, some vandals came and set light to it. So there you go. Now, in 2001, an American chap called Lawrence Jones. He was from Cleveland, Ohio. He was a 51-year-old guy, and he burnt it down on the 23rd of December. Now he claimed that he was told that it was sort of the done thing to do by some Swedish people he'd met while he was there, and he was locked up for 2 weeks. Yeah, he spent 2 weeks in prison before they set him free, and they confiscated his lighter because apparently he was unable to use it responsibly, and he was charged 100,000 Swedish kronas. Now, apparently he fled the country without paying the fine. So, yeah, he never actually paid up. And in 2005, the Southern Merchant's Goat was set aflame on the 15th of December by a pair of people who were dressed, one in a Santa Claus costume and one dressed as a gingerbread man. And they used a flaming arrow to set light to it. And in 2009, the Southern Merchant's one was burnt down and the Natural Science Club one was stolen in the back of a pickup truck. That must have been a smaller year that year, because you're not going to get a 13-metre goat in the back of a pickup truck, are you? So there you go. Like I said, it's one of those things. People do insist on burning the poor thing down. And apparently it was in 1988 where British bookies started taking bets on whether the goat would survive or it wouldn't. And I found one source that says, if it's burnt down before the 13th of December, then they'll rebuild another one. But if it's after then, they don't bother. It's like, forget it. You've ruined it for everyone. So there you go. That's the story of the Gävle goat. I hope you enjoyed it. And I want to say thank you again to my mate Benji Pearson for sending that one through. Now it's time for this. So I don't know if you remember, this is going back a couple of months now. I did a book review on this book my wife had got me for Christmas. It was like the National Geographic 100 Facts About Christmas for Kids. I forget what it's called. Nice book though. And I listed a lot of place names in the United States that were Christmas related. And I got a message through Facebook from Stacey McKinsey saying that I'd missed out a place called Christmas Valley. And I replied saying, oh, that sounds delightful. And she replied saying, no, it's a desert. So there you go. I missed that one out, but I appreciate her sending that through. And she also sent me the story of how her youngest child found out that there's no Santa Claus. And she recorded it and sent it to me through Facebook. Well, we all know what that means, don't we, kids? What does it mean? That's right. She gets a Christmas pickle, the lucky girl. I've already posted it out. I hope you enjoy that, Stacey. And I hope everyone enjoys this story. Here we go.
Hi there, Jack. This is Stacey McKinsey from Oregon, USA. I've been listening to you since, I think, episode 3. Just recently went back through and listened to all of them again. This is my story of how my youngest of 4 found out the truth about Santa Claus. It was actually Easter weekend, and we had all of our kiddos at the house, including our oldest son's friend. And I made Easter baskets for all of the kids. And I brought the boys' Easter baskets into them actually Saturday night because they were wanting treats. The next morning, they all got up and our youngest son went running around the house looking for his Easter basket. And I said, buddy, what are you doing? And he said, I'm looking for my Easter basket. And he ran into his room and hopped up on his bed. I went in and I said, well, I gave you your Easter basket last night. Did you lose it? And he said, what do you mean you gave me my Easter basket last night? I said, well, I gave it to you last night. Don't you remember? And he looked at me and he said, you're the Easter bunny? And I would think I probably ended up white as a sheet. And then his eyes got really big and he put his face in his pillow and he started sobbing. And I walked up to him and I kind of patted him on the back and I said, what's wrong? And he said, that means that there's no Santa Claus either, right? And he rolled over and he says, my entire life has been a lie. So, a little dramatic. But yeah, so that's how our youngest found out that there was no Santa Claus. Apparently because his mom is a horrible mom. Thanks so much for all that you do, by the way. You are one of my 2 favorite Christmas podcasts.
Well, there's a few things I want to say about that. First up, Stacey, you are not a horrible mother. You're a fantastic mother, making those 5 Easter baskets for each of those children. So that was delightful of you. Secondly, I want to say well done for listening to all the episodes again. That's dedication. Now, the third thing I want to say is, when I was a kid, never really sort of believed in Easter Bunny. I don't remember that ever being like something that I actually believed in. But I always believed in Santa, and it's like I remember saying to my mum, you know, oh, the Easter Bunny's not real, but Santa's real. And the same thing with the Tooth Fairy as well. I remember like believing in the Tooth Fairy and then not believing in the Tooth Fairy, but then still believing in Santa for years after. So yeah, you know, you could have tried to lie your way through that one. That's the best way to treat these children, is lie to them. That's what I do pretty much all the... That's my parenting style, is what I'm saying, is lies, all lies. And the last thing I want to say is, you said that I'm one of your two favourite Christmas podcasts, which sort of sounds delightful, but it actually means I'm your second favourite. Because otherwise, you would have said, I'm your favourite Christmas podcast. But you didn't, did you, Stacey? No, you said, I'm one of two, which means I'm number two. That's how it works. And to be honest, Stacey, I'm furious. But it has made me think maybe I should up my game so I can beat this other shoddy Christmas podcast that's out there thinking it's better than me, strolling around with his nose in the air going, oh yes, I'm the best Christmas podcast. And I'm like, oh yeah, wow, maybe you are, but that's only because my podcast is crap. Now it's time for, before we say that, thank you one more time, Stacey. I really hope you enjoy your Christmas pickle. And if you want to send in your story, do it. Do it. Do it now. I've said this before. We've all got a story. Everyone's story is different. And I think they should all be shared. So share it. Don't be so selfish. Sitting there holding your story in your lap going, no, no one gets to hear my story. It's my story. And I'm there going, oh, share it with your friends. Or maybe your mum said it. Why don't you share with your friends? And you go, no, mummy, my story. This is not happening, is it? This is not what's going on. It's laziness. That's why you're not sharing it. Share your story. Now it's time for this. We haven't had a joke in the last couple of episodes. Yeah, you've missed it, haven't you? Okay, well, this is one of mine now. Not the trolley that we were getting sent in from Benji Pearson. Now we're back to the good stuff, kids. Here we go. What has a cat in the desert got to do with Christmas? Sandy Claus. Hey? Yes, we're back. You know it, you love it. Thank you.
Humbug.
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 Bah humbug.
It's all humbug, I tell you.
Christmas a humbug, Uncle? Oh, you don't mean that, surely.
So this episode is something a little bit different because I'm not going to be talking about a specific version of A Christmas Carol. I've got a guest. I've got an interview with friend of the show, our most valuable listener. That's Eddie Honan. He emailed me and mentioned that he's going to be playing Fezziwig again in his local community theatre presentation of A Christmas Carol. And so we arranged to have an interview where we could chat about that. And that is what I'm going to play for you now. So here comes the interview with Eddie Honan, who plays Fezziwig. Just before I start the interview, just to say this was recorded on Zoom and it's not the best quality. The audio did come in and out a little bit a couple of times. Generally, it's okay though. It's sort of just below my usual standard of rubbish. So, yeah, here we go. Sure. So, boys and girls, I've got a treat for you now. I've actually got an interview with our most valuable listener. Is it valuable or valued? I forget. I keep messing it up.
Either one works. Yeah.
No, it's your title. You self-appointed yourself. Which one are you going for?
Let's go with valuable.
Okay. Our most valuable customer, our most valuable listener. It's Eddie Honan. Is it Eddie? Are we saying Eddie or Edward?
I like Eddie. Yeah.
You don't want me to be too formal.
No, I mean, Eddie or Edward, I don't like Ed.
Okay, I'll bear that in mind. Okay. So Eddie is a member of his local community theatre, and he has been playing Fezziwig. Now, how many times is it you've played Fezziwig now, Eddie?
Oh, I think four times now.
So coming up is your fourth or your fifth?
I think this would be the fifth, yes.
Okay. And so is it just 5 years you've been with them, and every year you've played Fezziwig? Is that how it works?
Sort of. I've been with the theater since 2014, and we do a ton of other shows, but each year we do Christmas Carol, and yeah, I'm Fezziwig since I guess now it was 2016 when I first became Fezziwig.
Did you do it the year before?
Yes, I played like Scrooge's father and, you know, random roles. You know, we all play like several roles in it. Yeah.
So I should have said this at the start. So the version you guys do is a Christmas Carol, the musical. And this is the one that was made for TV starring Kelsey Grammer. Yeah.
Yes.
Can you remind me who was written by?
It was written by Alan Menken and Lynn Ahrens. Alan Menken, famous for writing so many Disney movies, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin. Mainly, he got famous from doing Little Shop of Horrors with Howard Ashman. And Lynn Ahrens, of course, wrote Seussical and Ragtime and Once on This Island. So pretty heavy hitters.
Yeah. So the role of Fezziwig, is it what you were going for? Is this your ideal role in A Christmas Carol?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I love it. It is. See, in our theater, kids grow up, you know, moving up through roles, and they're always so excited when they're old enough to finally get into the Fezziwig dance. It is 7 minutes of total insanity, and I get to just be totally crazy and happy and fun, and I'm obsessed with Christmas, so I basically am Fezziwig.
So, you know, I have seen the film. It was a long time ago, though. Remind me, does Fezziwig have a song? Does he sing?
Yes. It's when the Ghost of Christmas Past takes Scrooge to see him, you know, working it with Fezziwig. It's this crazy big dance number where, you know, we're so glad to have you here tonight. And then it goes into this insane, insane dance. And it's wonderful. It's not like an actual solo for Fezziwig at all. Like other people sing, of course, and Mrs. Fezziwig is a huge part of it as well. But yes, there is that number. And then, of course, Fezziwig comes back in this version right before Marley dies. They have Fezziwig come back and ask Scrooge for money. And Scrooge says no. And, you know, he says, I helped you both get started. What made you so hard-hearted? So it's kind of a sad ending there for Fezziwig.
Yeah, I really don't remember that bit. But that sounds similar to what happens in the Alistair Sim version, where you see sort of Fezziwig sort of lose.
It was in the movie version. It was, I want to say his name is Brian Bedford, but he's most famous for being the voice of Robin Hood in Disney's 1973 Robin Hood.
That's right. Yeah, I did look that up. Yeah.
Yeah, which I think is super cool. But it is a great fun role. I love doing it. I love my ridiculous costume. I also am the Beetle in the very beginning of it. And then I turn into Fezziwig. And then I go back to like the Beetle. And then I come back as a ghost of Fezziwig at the very end. They have all the people that died displayed on top.
Is that the scene in the graveyard at the end?
No, it's after he has come around and it's happy Christmas time. We have this big platform across the back of the stage. And so like his mother and the Fezziwigs and the little girl who plays his sister, we're all standing, and Marley, we're all standing up there singing, like kind of looking down on everything.
So that's set the next morning, is it?
Yes. So that's like Christmas morning. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. So you've been playing this this is the fifth year. Is your wife the same actress that you've had all 5 years?
No, I've had two, and I'll have a different one this year, actually. They have yet to tell me who it is, so I don't know. They just told me that I'd be very happy with who they picked. So I'm rolling with that. But the two previous ones were both fantastic, and I'm sure this one will be as well.
So if you've been doing it 5 years, so say last year, that was your fourth year. Did you know the role? And so now you're going back to it again for the fifth year. Do you know the words and the whole role? Do you have to go through your lines, or is it already up there and you can pretty much go straight into it?
Yeah, I can go straight. I could do it right now.
Oh, wow.
I haven't looked at the script since year one.
So you learned it the first year, and then every year since, you've already had it down pat. That's it in your head.
Yeah.
Because we
perform it for about 4 weeks. And it just sticks there.
Four weeks, I just
know it.
Well, I guess that's the 12th of the year, I suppose, isn't it? So it's going to stay in there, I guess. 4 weeks, is that leading up to Christmas, or do you carry on in January?
No, it's leading up to Christmas. We always close around the 19th or so, because the theater then does a holiday concert, like a cabaret concert, right before Christmas. So we always close about the week before, like maybe 18th, 19th.
So what, are you starting in November then?
Yes, we start, I think this year we're starting the 26th. So it's, if I'm not mistaken, I think it's the day after Thanksgiving we open.
Oh, wow.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, but it gets you in the spirit, I guess, doesn't it?
Yeah, it totally does. It's one of those things where, you know, it really, really gets you into the holiday mood. And it's so fun because there's so many people in it. Like, I don't know what it'll be like this year because of, you know, everything going on. But in previous years, it was a cast of like 60 because there's all these kids running around. Full families do it. And it's really great. It's just this fun vibe for 6 weeks because we rehearsed for about 2 weeks and then we put it on.
Is that it? Just 2 weeks rehearsal and then you're good to go?
Yeah.
Wow. That's a lot. That's not a lot.
Yeah.
That's not a lot.
Yeah, but it's not a lot.
Well, if it works, I suppose it doesn't matter, does it? If 2 weeks is enough, then that's all you need.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So has it been the same chap playing Scrooge all 5 years?
Yeah, actually, they've done it 10 years, and it is. It's my very good friend, David Whiteman. He has played Scrooge all 10 years.
How do you feel about
that? And he is going to play it this year again. But yeah, he has played it all 10 years. There have been, I think there might be like 9 or 10 cast members that have been in it all 10 years. One of which is my good friend, McAfee, who's only like 20 years old. So he's been doing it since he was 10. Yeah. What I love about it is that it's such a family fun oriented show and we always sell out because people love to come and people in the audience are crying at the end because it's just so magical and the music is so good. I mean, you covered the one song Yesterday, Tomorrow, and Today, which is Scrooge's 11 o'clock number. For anyone who doesn't know, an 11 o'clock number is, you know, the big number at the end of a musical. Well, not the finale, but the one right before the finale. And it's just such beautiful music. And it just feels, you know, magical to be a part of, you know, it's very fun, especially for someone who's so obsessed with Christmas.
So I know you like doing the role of Fezziwig. The other chap's been doing Scrooge for 10 years. Did you ever fancy that you might like having a go at Scrooge? Do you think that's a role that you'd fancy?
Oh, I would love to do it at some point. Yeah, I think it's a great role. I love that last song. I would never want to not see him do it, though. But perhaps if he retires, I would try for it.
Well, yeah, but, you know, after 10 years, a change is as good as a rest, isn't it? Don't they want a bit of variety?
Yeah. You know, a change is cool. Yeah, my other friend plays the ghost of Christmas Present, and he has a great number called Abundance Charity. Great tap number. And we often joke, the two of us are going to grow old playing these roles. We're going to play them for 50 years. And he's just waiting for his nephew to be old enough to be Tiny Tim. And then I said, yeah, and then we'll just watch him grow from Tiny Tim through all roles. That's what the kids do. And that's one of the really cool things is the kids will go from Tiny Tim to then a Fezziwig child. And then they'll grow out of that and they'll be like 12-year-old Scrooge, et cetera. And they'll just keep moving up.
Have you had a kid that's played Tiny Tim, played young Scrooge? Has that happened?
Probably. I know that there have been Tiny Tims that have gone on to become Fezziwig kids. Right. Because in the show, I have about 6 kids. So now over the years, I've had, I don't know, 30.
Isn't it all daughters Fezziwig's got, though?
He has one son, Charlie, at least in this version.
Oh, okay.
And he says, you know, break out the fiddle, Charlie. My English accent is, I think this year I'm going to try to base it more off of your accent.
Don't do that.
Because you have a brilliant accent.
I don't agree, but there you go. If you like it, that's cool. So is that the same as in the film? Is Fezziwig's son the fiddle player?
Because
Dickens spent a lot of time describing the fiddle player.
Yeah, I think they just changed it for this for I don't know what reason. I don't know. But in the movie and also like in the Broadway version that existed before the movie, it is his son, Charlie. And yeah, I actually saw the Broadway version at Madison Square Garden all 10 years of its run. It ran from 1994 through 2003. And I got to see some amazing actors as Scrooge, like Tony Randall, Terrence Mann, Roddy McDowell, of all people, Roddy McDowell. And he didn't even know what was going on. He was just messing up lyrics left and right. And it was hilarious. Tim Curry, obviously, Frankenfurter, Jim Dale.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. They literally brought in some great actors. I'm forgetting a few, but...
Who was your favorite?
My favorite was Roddy McDowell because, A, I just was always a huge fan of his. B, I thought it was hilarious that he just messed up lines, right? He would be singing a song and it's like, it was poor. Like, he would just mumble things. And also at the time, I was very weird, like 14-year-old. Anytime anything would go wrong, I would be like, damn, Roddy McDowell. I would blame him for everything. So that was probably my favorite. But also, I mean, being a huge, huge Tim Curry fan, I loved seeing him. But probably the best actual performance was Walter Charles, who was the original. He was in the original Sweeney Todd and the original Kaj. And then he left. He did not reprise the role the second year because he went to do Sunset Boulevard in Toronto. But he was probably the best one. He's the one on the recording, if you look it up. You know, and that's a great, great recording. There's some differences between that and the film version. And the film version is the one that's licensed for theaters to do. Not crazy changes, but The Ghost of Christmas Past was this little leprechaun type guy in the Broadway version, and then it turned into Jane Krakowski. So now it's always a woman. So that's the difference. Yeah.
So in all the versions of A Christmas Carol that you've ever seen, who is your favorite Fezziwig?
Oh, probably it would have to be Fozzie.
Of course, yeah. Yeah, do you know, I now you've said that, I feel like I might have to agree, but I think Bob Hoskins was a perfect choice.
Bob Hoskins is amazing.
You know, when I remember when he was cast, and it was just like, yeah, of course, he should, you know, I don't know if he ever played it anywhere else on stage or anything, but he really, for me, was the perfect, perfect choice. So it's 5 years of playing Fezziwig. Do you think it's going to be six? Do you think you will stick with this role just every year? As long as you're there, you'll be doing this role, if they have you.
Yeah, if they have me. Yeah, absolutely. I will do it 100%.
Until you can do Scrooge.
Until they let me do Scrooge, right?
If there was another role in A Christmas Carol, the version you do, if you weren't playing Fezziwig, what would you, and not Scrooge, what other ones would you fancy having a go at?
This version, I would go for Ghost of Christmas Present because it's a wonderful number. It ends Act One. It's all of these, you know, gorgeous tap dancing ladies around you. And you just get to be funny and laugh. And I laugh all the time. I actually get in trouble for laughing on stage. I would not want to be Marley. My friend Alex plays Marley. And one time, and they put actual chains on him. So I brought a scale in and he weighed about 125 pounds. And then put the chains on him and he weighed 159 pounds.
Oh, wow.
So he's just literally walking around with 35 pounds of chains. It's absolutely insane. But he's going to have to play Marley anyway forever because they made this scrim picture of him that is hanging at one point. And I don't know if you know what scrim is, but it's like a lightly woven material that theaters use that you can project things from behind or onto it, etc. But it's him. And I said, dude, this must have cost so much money. You're stuck playing Marley forever. Yeah.
So going back to the role, in the book, it focuses very much on Fezziwig and his wife dancing. So is it a big dance number for this scene, your scene?
Yes, it's a huge dance number that is about, I would say, 10 other couples. There's a section where two nannies start dancing. Then there's all the kids dancing. And yes, it's a lot of, I wouldn't say it's hard. It's tiring because it's long, but yeah, it is a big, big dance number. And it's so fun. And all the kids that are not old enough to do it yet, but they do the show every year, are standing backstage in the wings, like doing it anyway. Because everyone loves that number. It really brings the house down. And that's one thing I love about Fezziwig, because, you know, shameless actor. So I want the applause.
Is there a lot of choreography in your version that you need to remember, or is it fairly straightforward?
There is a lot. There's not a lot that I have to do. Like in the opening number, it's a lot of just like movement, I don't have to dance. And then there's that big tap number I told you about with the Ghost of Christmas Present. And then the Fezziwig number is really the biggest number. But, you know, having done it, I could rehearse it for like maybe an hour or so and be fine to go. You know what I mean? But what I do is it's just like partner dancing, like doing a little like, I don't know the term, like jig style stuff, you know?
So do your calves glisten like two full moons?
Wait, what?
Do you not get that at all?
Wait, say that again.
Is it your calves, your calf muscles, do they not glisten like two full moons? No, in the book, A Christmas Carol, it actually specifically mentions Fezziwig's calves glistening like two full moons. Do you not remember that line?
Oh no, I don't. Oh my god!
Oh, I see. No, that's
now I feel awful.
Don't feel awful, but that's because there's a couple of versions that I've watched, and I can't remember off the top of my head which ones they are. But they actually sort of zoom in. I think it might be cartoon versions. They actually zoom in on his calf muscles as if they're paying homage to that one line in the book where it says that his calves glistened like. I'm not sure if I'm getting the line exactly right, but I'm pretty sure it's glistened or glowed like two full moons. Yeah, there you go. So next time, yeah, polish up your calf muscles so they glisten.
I should. oh my god, you should cut that out because I don't want to sound like an idiot.
Oh, okay.
You can ask me again, and I'll be like, "Of course they do."
Okay, you ready then? Here we go. Right. So, do your calf muscles glisten like two full moons?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Just glowing.
Glowing. Shining out there on the stage.
Yeah. Through the white tights that I'm wearing.
So you are wearing all the proper breeches and the tights and mm-hmm. the waistcoat
yep.
and the jacket.
Yeah.
Do you have a wig with like a top knot or anything? Because in a few versions, he has like the white wig, doesn't he?
I actually have a red wig, and all of my kids have red wigs, and so does Mrs. Fezziwig. But it was funny, the first year the wig was just so like matted down and like covered in hairspray and disgusting. So then I tried to grow my hair out for the following year because I was like, I'll just grow it out and dye it red. And it didn't get long enough. I didn't have enough time. And so they got me a new wig. And I love it. It's crazy red hair, which I think I rock pretty well.
Is that something that's on the film that the Fezziwigs have all got red hair? Or is that just something your production does?
I think it's just something we do.
Okay.
I haven't seen the film in a little bit of time. No. I feel like he had the white wig in the film.
Yeah, I think that. I can't picture it.
Yeah. Yeah. But I, you know, it's classic. Like I'm wearing like white tights, and then I have like, you know, those pants that are, you know, just below the knee. I don't know what you call them. And like a vest and the waistcoat and everything. And it's great because it's this, the pants are this like amazing plaid, and the jacket is this amazing green, and it has these amazing lace collars or cuffs, I should say. And yeah, it's you put it on and you immediately feel like, yep, I'm Fezziwig, you know.
So you said it sells out. Does it sell out every night, the whole run?
Well, I wouldn't say every night, but it certainly sells out most nights for sure, especially the matinees, because we'll do the show Friday night, Saturday, afternoon, Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, and especially the matinees, because people bring their kids down, you know?
Right. Sure.
That's the big time for people to bring kids. And it's very funny because kids either love it or they hate it because they're terrified of Marley and the Link by Link number, which is when all these ghosts come out. It's a fantastic number, but sometimes kids are terrified.
Yeah, I think that's the bit in A Christmas Carol. The graveyard scene at the end can be a little bit, but I think Marley's the bit that upsets most kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of versions of like a very scary Marley.
It's because I think it's this brilliant, happy Christmas, except with angry Scrooge, but everyone else is happy, 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 happy. And then it all of a sudden goes to Halloween.
Yeah, yeah, that's it, exactly, yeah.
And I told a friend of mine they should bring their niece and nephew. And they said they were scared of the Haunted Mansion in Disney World, so I don't think they could handle Marley.
No, maybe not yet. Is there anything else you want to say to us about your version of A Christmas Carol?
I just think it is a really great time. It's pretty short. It's only like 90 minutes. It's so fun to do, and I think people love watching it. We actually have snow come down at the end, which is amazing. It's also funny when during other productions throughout the year when the snow accidentally starts falling. Yeah.
Do you want to tell our listeners about where it is, when they can get tickets if they want to? If there's anyone local to you, tell them about, you know, the theater and where it is, what's going on.
I would love that. We are running from November 26th till December 12th this year. And it is in Lambertville, New Jersey, which is right across the bridge from New Hope, Pennsylvania. And it is called Music Mountain Theater. And you can get tickets online. You can just Google it, or you can, or just go to Music Mountain Theater. That's theater with an R-E at the end, .org, musicmountaintheater.org. And it's really a fun time. It's really a great theater. And they do so much for the community. And I've made so many dear friends there. And yes, come, you know, see it. And then if you want to audition and join our troupe of crazy people.
And will you be at the stage door signing autographs?
I will absolutely be there. I will come out to the lobby every night. So I would love nothing more than if someone came up to me and said, I am here because of Jack's podcast. That would be ridiculous.
Yeah, that would be ridiculous. Actually, I've only got four listeners, and you're one of them.
You have four.
One of the other three is one of them's my mum. I don't think she'll be going. So we've got two other listeners that want. Yeah, it'd be nice if one of them turned up.
Well, no, and the other one's my mom. She's already going to be there. So
what's it? She's one of my.
You have one listener.
I've got one other listener. I don't know who that is. Whoever it is, we love you. Thanks for keeping the podcast alive. Thanks so much, Eddie. It's been a real pleasure. I've really enjoyed chatting to you, and I will definitely put a link up on the Facebook page so that anyone that wants to get tickets can see the show. Yeah, and thanks again.
Yes, thank you.
Do you know what? I've got to say, I had a great time chatting to Eddie. It was really nice just chatting, like, because we'd emailed loads of times over the space of the last year, but that was the first time that we'd actually, you know, spoken on Zoom. And I had a great time. It was really interesting hearing about his take on Fezziwig. And if you are in that area, please go and do see the show, because that would just be fantastic. If someone could go up to him after the show and say, yeah, I listen to the Total Christmas podcast, and that's why I'm here. And I would love that. I doubt that'll happen because, you know, I've only got the four listeners, but wouldn't that be wonderful? Anyway, thanks again to Eddie. Now it's time for this. So the last two episodes, I've had a story from Rich Chambers, who released the album Santa's Rocking Band, and I played a clip from a couple of his songs. I've got another story from him, and then straight after that, I'll be playing you a clip from another one of his songs. So here's Rich's story.
Hi everyone, this is Rich Chambers coming to you with a Christmas memory. We all have Christmas traditions. They're amazing things, they're fun, and they're things that the family can share and talk about. And we started one when I was a small boy, and it was watching A Christmas Carol. It was the 1951 Alistair Sim British version of A Christmas Carol, and my parents decided it'd be a neat thing to do for all of us on Christmas Eve. So this one Christmas Eve, we sat down and watched it for the first time, and I thought this was kind of cool. It was black and white. That wasn't great, but, you know, I looked past that and thought this was kind of neat. And at one point near the beginning, Scrooge is in his apartment, and the ghost of Jacob Marley shows up. Well, I was petrified of Jacob Marley. I thought this was the scariest thing I'd ever seen. I was clutching my mom, but of course it was cool too. You know, that freaked out, I'm scared, but I'm having fun being scared. So the show ends and Jacob Marley passes, but my brother caught wind of me being very scared with this character. So for the next year, out of the blue, he'd suddenly show up in various places around the house and pretend to be Jacob Marley, Scrooge, and all that stuff. And I would flip. I'd freak. I'd run under the covers. I'd scream and run for mom. My brother would laugh and laugh and laugh. He thought it was the greatest thing. So there I was, petrified of Jacob Marley. Yet every year I went back and kept watching Jacob Marley. Christmas Carol, 1951 British version, Alistair Sim starring as Scrooge. Nothing beats it. Merry Christmas, everybody.
That's a great story. And he's right, you know, like when you're a kid, that is quite a scary scene in the Alistair Sim version of A Christmas Carol. Plus the music is really quite dramatic in that film. I do love it. It's fantastic. But I think for little ones, it might not be their cup of tea. So now I'm going to play one of the songs from Rich's album, Santa's Rocking Band. This one is called Peace and Harmony. Here it comes.
Christmas charm, and I was only 5, dreaming of Christmas time. The tree, it never died, all year it lived in my mind. Christmas,
peace and harmony.
Christmas, how I hope to see.
That's a great song, that one is. I really recommend you go and listen to the whole thing because it tells a lovely Christmas story. If you want to check it out, please do. If you go to richchambers.com, there's a sidebar on the left, it says Santa's Rocking Band. Just click on that. There's all the tracks and you can have a listen to them. And if you like them, then why not download the whole album? So thanks again to Rich for the story, and I'll be playing another one next week. I haven't got a recommendation for you this week, so nothing springs to mind that I've been listening to podcast wise so how about I just say, why not eat healthily and get some exercise and get up early and be nice to people? How's that as a recommendation? Any good? That's all I've got this week. And that is it for this episode. I want to say a big thank you to all the people that got involved with this episode. The 4 people that sent in their Christmas movie lists. Benji Pearson for sending in about the Yevla goat. Rich Chambers for his great story. Eddie, of course, for a fantastic interview about his role as Fezziwig. And Stacey McKenzie, of course, for her lovely story about how her youngest found out the truth about Santa. I hope you've enjoyed the show. I was listening back to a couple of old episodes, and every episode I say this, and that is it for this week. I really hope you've enjoyed it, and I was thinking, why can't I think of something different to say? But do you know what? There's nothing else I can say, really, because that's it. That is it for this episode, and I do really hope you've enjoyed it. So I don't really know how else to end the show. I'm doing it now. I'm ending it. Send me an email, go on Facebook, or go on the website. I'll be back again in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, God damn it, you know I love you. Merry Christmas.
Nothing, it's a card from my dad.
What is it? Wait.
dear son, happy Festivus? What is Festivus?
It's nothing. It's nothing.
When George was growing up,
no!
His father hated all the commercial and religious aspects of Christmas,
yeah.
So he made up his own holiday.
Oh, and another piece of the puzzle falls into place.
All right.
And instead of a tree, didn't your father put up an aluminum pole?
Oh, Jerry, no. Stop it.
And then weren't there feats of strength that always ended up with you crying?
I can't take it anymore. I'm going to work. You happy now?